First one, I'm going to talk about my granddad, who was also my pastor. I worked for him. That's how I got started in HVAC. He started our company in like the 70s. Mm. So he and I got to spend a lot of time together in his last several years. He actually passed away this past January. We had a lot of really good times, but we went to a store. We finished up a job. We went to a store. We go to check out, and there's a girl probably late 20s, early 30s.
Right where this was going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
so we get up there, and he's like, "Hey, ma'am, how are you?" She's, "I'm good." He said, "You sure are pretty." And I was like, that's not that uncommon for, you know, like a 78-year-old man, you know. So, yeah, but
pretty young girl.
Well, I'm just kind of hanging out. And then he's like, "Do you like to get married?" And I was like, whoa. I'm like, what?
Moving fast.
He's like, "What are we doing here?
I didn't want to be wasting our time."
No. And I'm
like, the heat's out in this place. So, yeah.
So it caught me way off guard. So I'm like, what? And she's also like, what? And he's like, "Would you like to get married?" And she doesn't know what to say. And she's like, maybe one day. And I don't know what to say. I'm like just trying to get my stuff and get out of here. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, he ain't got dementia or nothing. I'm like, what is wrong with him?
He's lost his mind, though.
I thought so. Mm-hmm. And he's asked her one more time. He's like, "Would you like to get married?" And she never does answer this time. Well, he finally looks at her and he's like, "Well, ma'am, I appreciate you. You have a wonderful day, but I'm a reverend. If you would ever like to get married, you can call me and I'll marry you."
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hayden, Alabama Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Isaac.
There you
I'm
go.
Drew. I had to catch on.
I almost
we should have went over that.
I was like, I don't want to have to look back, but I did. We're in the headquarters. Woodhaven Custom Game Calls.
Yes, sir.
We're excited to be back. Actually, we didn't record in here last time. We recorded in your shed. So this is a year since our last time together.
About to the date. Almost.
And we're not going to, it's not going to be an all turkey talk, but it is going to be all storytelling. That's what we're fixing to get into. We're going to have a good time here at the global headquarters. And then we got a great scripture time today talking about the authority of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life.
Perfect.
Seven of them. Seven authorities.
In case you're going to go over all of them?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, they're getting a sermon too, boys.
Get all a sermon.
True Baptist over there.
So you get storytelling and you get saved today.
I was looking at lunchtime is what I was looking at.
Hey, bring you sack lunch, son. Yeah,
should have. Sack lunch. Should have. There's nothing like an old timer trying to embarrass you like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Do they still do that?
I don't know if they still do it, but I guess Isaac would be the one to ask here.
Yeah, you
old timers like that still try
to. Lord, yeah, dude, Heflin, Alabama. Dude, if they can get a shot in you, they're getting it. Yeah. Especially the ladies like that. Stuff
oh,
like
it's
that.
Great.
Dude, if somebody's within a decade of your age, you're like, oh, so you got a crush on them. It's like, no, they're just my age.
Yeah, just my age. My grandfather loved this kind of aggravation. I wasn't into girls, you know what I mean? Like
that's
when I was younger.
We're gonna okay. Yeah, never get yeah, us back on
cut
track.
That.
No, I'm not cutting. I wasn't into either. You know what I'm saying? Like
it was just not a priority at the time.
I wanted to play baseball. Wasn't a priority.
Yeah. He was focusing on sports.
Listen.
I just wasn't into girls.
Listen, hey. Not everybody it doesn't always have to be a homo or a hetero thing, you know.
All I heard was I just wasn't into girls.
Well, I wasn't, but I wasn't into guys either.
I can't believe you had to clarify this, actually.
Okay. Well, he's from a different generation.
We'll get back on track, guys.
He I'm couldn't understand. He I'm couldn't sorry. Grow up in the 80s. Wow. Are we clear now?
Yes, sir.
This
you.
Is not a homo thing.
No, I had to back my chair up. I'm like, I thought I knew this guy.
I thought Isaac was late.
Yeah, my marriage is a big cover-up. And my ministry as well. Ministry, yeah. It's all one big facade.
Oh, Lord.
But he knew I would get nervous around girls, mm-hmm. and he would always be trying to, well, you think about that in there? Boy, mm-hmm. you might go over there and talk to that one. And I just wasn't having it.
I had some of these old boys we was talking about earlier in my family.
The aggravators?
Yeah, the aggravators, but the rough around the edges, I guess. We went to our favorite eating spot there in Blount Springs one day. And I'm with one of these older gentlemen.
I feel like you're incognito. Why is this so
well? Because
great.
Just wait.
Are you feeling
that? Yeah, it is pretty broad here.
Yeah.
So when we get in there, the waitress is someone that we knew very well.
Whoa.
Yeah, this how well did we know this not way. KJV no.
Like ESV, NIV.
Yeah, yes. I'm glad you clarified that because it was sounded about as weird as I'm not into girls.
Okay.
Anyway.
And she had recently gotten her nose pierced.
Ooh.
I don't care. Like, if that's what you want to do, if you want to get a tattoo, you want to get a nose pierced, the last thing I'm going to do is acknowledge it. I'm just not going to
I'm
not going to say I like it.
Piercing.
No, I'm not going to acknowledge
that's safe.
New tattoo, new piercing, new hairdo. I'm not acknowledging. The gentleman I'm with, however, is going to make his opinion known no matter what the case is. Mm. And as she comes up, and she's a nice enough girl, but as she comes up and takes our order, the first thing out of his mouth is, does it hurt? Does that hurt? And I'm like, okay, what's he talking about? And she's as confused as I am. And she was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, does it hurt when you root around in the ground like a hog with that nose in your... And I was like,
whoa.
Oh, boy.
That.
This is before you ordered.
Before we ordered.
Yeah. That's a terrible decision, man.
I could have crawled under.
Yeah, I believe I'd have left.
How did she respond?
I just, no. Yeah, like absolutely, completely unfazed.
You're a moron.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. I'm here to tell you what. It's pretty known. If you go out to eat with me, we go out to eat. You send something back.
I'm not sending nothing back.
No,
I ain't.
Please don't send it back before I get my food.
Yeah. Right.
Please.
Yeah, you do it at your own risk, but let me have my food.
Let me have
first.
My food first.
Keep me out of it.
And here's the other thing. If you're gonna be a smart mouth, wait till I get my food.
Yeah,
you gonna make statements like that? Let me get my food.
Well, heck, the waiter didn't do nothing. They just brought you the food.
You don't know what they do when they walk.
Well,
away
I'm
from
saying,
the table.
Like, why would you tell the waiter off? Because then they catch an attitude with the waiter.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm not gonna say anything. Like, they're hard pressed to get me to say anything negative.
Yeah, same here. Just don't go back.
Just don't.
Yeah, but I'm gonna get my food first.
I'm gonna have my food. I do have a question.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, I figured it out. I figured it out before I even asked.
That's quick.
Why was your straw bent like that? But you just took a sip and it made perfect sense.
I want to know why it's bent
what
like
was
this.
Your,
hey, I was just like,
it was hitting your hat and you didn't want to drink it. You didn't want to drink
it. There it is.
Was that why?
No, it's just one of them deals I do. There's no reason.
This is regular.
You do that every time?
Oh, yeah. I go to a restaurant. Get the straw, any kind of cup, just bend it and hold it with my finger like that.
And you never use the straw for anything besides bending it across the cup.
Like no, that. Like a fidget toy kind of.
All right.
Cheers. I thought he didn't want to drink in front of a,
well,
a straw.
Well, it would be bad if it was like that. But no, that's not.
Wait a minute. I think we got a little something here. Do you think less of people that drink out of straws?
Yes, partially. Well, it's kind of like messing with them type thing. Like we were at the pig today. Drinking. Guys, I'm not a drinker.
I'm talking about
I'm actually not a drinker
at
all.
Get that Bible out over there,
Guys.
We got a red KJV right here, buddy. We won't talk.
And praise the Lord. He knows I try to do it by the book. And I'm not a drinker. I meant we were grabbing lunch.
There you go.
Grabbing lunch.
Just getting lunch.
Grabbing lunch. Sorry. We were just on topic of a drink.
But you happen to have.
Yeah.
And
one of them asked me for a straw and the other didn't. So I just said, yeah, you ain't no sucker, are you? And so the other one's like looking at me like, what the heck? So like, I do that. But I don't see a guy less for drinking out of a straw. I don't reckon. I mean, is that a thing?
I just wonder.
What do you think? What's your opinion?
I'm a no straw guy.
What about a bent straw?
That's weird. Straight up.
Nah, I'm kind of a straw guy at restaurants because I like in my head I'm thinking about how many people's mouth and I don't trust the dishwasher.
This is the second time. Who is it that was telling us this?
Me?
Mm-mm.
Yes, you're that way too. Like, yeah, I'm just thinking, what like, about man, the metal, 7, forks 000, every time you? I know.
Yeah,
7,000 mouths on this
you
cup.
May as well just drink the drink.
Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, but heck, that I can't eat with my hand.
That was my argument.
I guess I can.
So this was very recent. An individual said they will not. They always get a straw because they refuse to drink out of the glass. And then my response was, well, do you refuse the fork? And then they just looked at me like they never thought about that.
No, that's a valid
Now, there point. Are folks who ask for plastic forks.
Yeah.
Like plastic
silver. I'm about to be one.
Really?
No kidding.
About to be one.
You've been eating with somebody that had a metal fork and asked for a plastic fork?
Yeah, they're like, I don't want this. Can I get a plastic set?
Just bring one in your pocket and be serious. That's what we can do.
I've never seen a master of paper plate. I've never seen somebody go that far.
Yeah.
Anyhow, moving on. My story is from when I was like 5, 6 years old, young buck, still a young buck, but I was, you know, a younger buck at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow.
I love it.
A good Uncle Terry. I like him. Go ahead.
I can't do nothing right. He's just
no,
you
that's no, right. No, I'm excited guys. About it. I'm excited.
That's a good thing.
Anyhow, what had happened was I had a babysitter, or we had a babysitter, I should say we, because a huge detail in the story is I have a brother who's 11 months younger than me.
Mm.
And as you can imagine, that creates for a lot of ruckus and turmoil and fist fights and everything else. Mm-hmm. 11 months apart, shoot mm-hmm. fire. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I know how to square up somebody now for dang mm-hmm. sure. And I'm yeah. fighting every day. So anyways, we had a babysitter and we had a playroom upstairs. We'd always go play upstairs. And I was huge into Thomas the Train. Mm. Big Thomas
Big
the Train
Thomas
guy.
Fan.
Yeah. Huge, man. So I had this Thomas the Train tent. All right. And it's one of those little pop-up deals. Whatever you think it is, it probably is. That's what it is, right? Just a real cheap polyester Thomas the Train tent. But that sucker meant a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, 6 years old, that Thomas the Train tent, I'm ride or die, son.
Don't mess with my tent.
And look, we're in T-ball at the time, too. We got to take this into account. All right, so I get up there, minding my own business, right?
Thomas the Train.
We played sports. We played basketball, football, baseball. We throw it around, whatever. Always had a great time, right? And there'd always be a fight along the way, but we had a good time. So anyhow, I went up there just to go play in my tent, just to go sit around, hang out, whatever. Me and Thomas, just a good day, just mm-hmm. Thomas and I again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, something's wrestling around in my tent.
Mm. It ain't Thomas.
And it ain't Thomas.
Mm. Right? And it ain't yeah. Isaac.
So I was like, man, what the heck? It's my brother. So I said, hey, what are you doing in my tent? I don't remember exactly how this went, but I said, what
probably,
are you doing?
Probably pretty close to that.
Because as soon as I found out somebody was in that tent, I blacked out, right? I'm seeing red. I'm like, who the heck is in my tent, right? Long story short, like I said, T-ball comes back into play. There was a metal baseball bat in the corner of the room.
Oh, yeah.
So what had happened was,
I've never met your brother.
It probably has a lot to do with what's wrong with him. And I went to that Thomas the Train tent, and I pushed it down until I found his head. And no kidding, tomahawked that sucker
right
on the top of the head with a metal T-ball bat. And look, son.
Just because he was in your tent.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, the moral of that story there is be careful what you do with something that means a lot to somebody. Because that Thomas the Train tent meant a lot to me.
Yeah, you
and somebody went to mess with it.
You
and
were serious
I
about
killed
Thomas,
him.
Man.
Yeah, and our babysitter here, didn't know dude. What to do. We had a babysitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like in high school probably. You
that
know,
sounds like
time.
A fractured skull is what that's
yeah. Can yeah. you write down, like I've got a notebook. I'm just going to get you to write down some things that are really important to you.
Yeah, make sure.
It's just so I'll know.
Yeah, I ain't touching turkeys. I ain't touching his turkey.
Well, here's the thing about this is Drew knows turkeys are important.
And I'm
me.
Sorry I yeah, said anything sure. about
and
that.
And we
straw.
Didn't hear one yesterday. So
I am.
He's I got a bat in the truck.
Yeah, I was afraid. Now I'm, golly.
I wouldn't say anything.
I'm hunting with him again. We have a bad morning. I may get shot.
If you see him looking for your head, just know. The other
yeah,
hand.
Yeah. You feel anything kind of like
yeah. that. Start feeling around.
Just spinning around.
Man.
See, because before this started, Shane was like, oh, I'm going to go with him. And now Shane's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
no, Philip, you I'm might as well get out.
Your head's harder than mine.
I'm going with Drew. I feel much safer.
I've never hit anybody with a bat.
Now,
yeah, go ahead. And
here's what I'm excited.
Fess up.
So I'm going to give you a little story, but I really want to hear the next one.
Oh,
the one
got, that, yeah, I can go there.
Okay.
Next. Yeah.
I had a wooden baseball bat that was about like that. Everything was normal. It was just smaller size.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a toy that was given to me. And I remembered that it had a knot on it. It was really darker because it was stained. And Dad was hanging out 5-4 years old. No, this is like one of my core memories. And he stopped paying attention to me.
Oh, man.
I don't know why the thought went into my mind, but I said, I bet I could get Dad's attention if I take that ball bat, this wooden miniature baseball bat, and hit him in the head as hard as I can.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't just kind of go talk. I'm talking about I brought that thing to Aunt Nancy's house.
Way
and back. I said, "Sadae."
I bet Larry saw stars.
I'll never forget because when his head would turn around, he was like three shades of red.
He was my head just
and
thinking
like
about
flames
it.
In his eyes. And he wanted to really just strangle me. You could see it, but he held it together.
How did he hold that
I
back?
Don't know how he held it together, but he like had to walk away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was just sitting there in the bed, you know, holding that little wooden baseball bat going, he's going to kill me when he comes back. And he came
Were
back.
Were you proud?
No. I mean,
you,
I was,
you got his attention.
Oh, I did get his attention. But he came back and just said, he said, son, listen. Kind of quivering voice, you know. Yeah.
I'm about to pass out, but hear me. Hear me before I black out.
His head just kept going over, you know, like that the whole time.
It's because he had a concussion.
That's right. So when I wake
eyes watering.
When I wake up from my concussion, he said, never, ever hit anybody with that wooden baseball bat again. And I was just
not just me, but
yes,
anybody.
How old was
I was 4 or 5.
Okay.
Go. Because it was right before we moved.
I bet you could still swing that thing though.
At 4 and 5, guaranteed you could. Yeah. I tell you, and I didn't just
like those little ones they give you at the Braves game back. Where you could buy at the Braves games.
But a little bit smaller. But okay. It was just a little bit smaller. Yeah. This
it
is
was like
80s,
a tire checker.
Like 87, yeah, 86. Man,
those 18 wheeler tire checkers. Well, really, that's what they're tire checkers.
Yeah.
They for.
Well, I use it as a
head when they.
Attention checker.
When they mess with the Thomas kid. Yeah,
that's right. I got 100% attention with that thing.
Yeah.
More than I wanted.
Guaranteed.
All right. Sorry. That was longer than
well, I Isaac won't understand this, but my son did that to me not too long ago as far as just made me see just absolute red. I was in the yard holding a baseball bat and he was throwing the football. Well, he come running like he was Patrick Mahomes or something. He jumps and he just full on, he's probably 5 yards from me, as hard as he could throw the football. And I've got the bat and when I turn.
You're not paying attention.
No, I'm not paying attention. I turn and I see him, he's released the ball.
Mm. Oh boy.
And it's at a high rate of speed, it drills me right between the eyes.
You didn't have a chance to even raise
your
hands.
Didn't have a chance
up.
To swing the bat. No, it was just bam. And just see that this flash of red. And the first thing I did, though, is I read the bat. I don't know why I was
a metal baseball. It's gonna take a 32-inch aluminum bat to your son.
Right, and I was like, that's not the response.
No, you
can't do that.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
So I'm looking forward to this. You did some time on the right side of the law.
Yeah.
And this comes from that time.
Yep. 10 years. 10 years at the sheriff's office before I went to work for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a million interesting things. And I wish I could remember, but I just can't remember very well a lot of things. But I can remember this. Okay. So this is like local to my house. Well, I have people, you know, when you work at the sheriff's office, especially in somewhere like this, everybody here knows me. Like, the whole county knows me. Mm-hmm. So everybody's
kind of
always,
deal.
Everybody, no, not a big deal at That's all. Okay. I just worked at the sheriff's office. So everybody's always, you know, coming up and they're telling me their concerns, their complaints, you know, you name it. Well, somebody comes and they're like, hey, my daughter almost hit a guy on a lawnmower yesterday. And I'm like,
well, he's probably just, your daughter
yeah,
riding
and that's
in the
what
yard.
I'm thinking. Like, he probably just cutting his grass. Mm-hmm. Well, then it ain't much longer. And there's like, somebody else said, hey, man, my daughter came over a hill right down the road from your house the other day. And there was a dude in the road on a lawnmower.
Different story.
Like, Yeah, it's a different guy. And I'm like, okay, maybe this dude ain't cutting his grass. Well, I think it was the next day or maybe the next time I worked, I'm leaving. I'm just right down the road from my house. And I get to an intersection and I see something crossing the intersection. What is that? Well, here comes a car down the hill and they almost hammer this. And about this time, I realize it's a lawnmower. So the lawnmower's trying to cross the intersection, car down the hill. We almost have a wreck. I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, sure enough, dude driving a lawnmower in the road, on the road. So I flip my lights on, hit my siren. He pulls over. I'm walking up. And I look, and there's a 24-ounce natural ice in the lawnmower cup holder.
Natty.
On the other side, there's an empty 24-ounce natural ice.
We're in progress.
So I walk up, speak to this guy. I do know him at this point. No names, but, you know, kind of known for a guy that might drink a few natural ices. And I speak, and as soon as he talks back, I can tell he is tanked. Like extremely, extremely intoxicated. So I go through my stuff and do field sobriety, and the poor fella can hardly even stand up, much less drive his lawnmower effectively. So he went to jail for DUI on a lawnmower. So what I thought was just a dude cutting his grass turned out to be a dude really riding his lawnmower. That's what he was. He would hop on his lawnmower. So it was a lawnmower with no deck. It didn't have a deck.
Yard blades.
Yeah, it's just it was but a little
recreational,
you know, like
vehicle.
A $350 Lowe's lawnmower. This ain't ain't a big Nissan. Like, man, this thing just crawls. That's why I almost got killed crossing
the intersection. It's got the Briggs.
Yeah.
Well, she might have took my car keys, but she forgot about my old
I mean, it was legit George Jones, you know, scenario. I arrested this dude. And that's kind of what I did.
Was this his first DUI?
I think it was his 14th one. Over the years. I think that's.
I thought you said of the year.
One four. Yeah, over a period of years. He hadn't had driver's license in like
That's why
long.
He was on the lawnmower.
He wouldn't drive a vehicle. I give him that a truck. And ever since the lawnmower, now he's on feet all the time. He walks to the store.
Can you get a WUI?
You can get a public intox, yeah.
Okay, just
if you're like walking in the road and
in public,
you know, causing a hazard to you or somebody
public.
Else. Yeah. But yeah, it was interesting. I'd arrested a pile of DUIs to that point. I would probably arrested at that point. This was like probably 8 years into my career, 7 years into my career, and probably had arrested somewhere around 300 DUIs. Yeah, that's what I did when I was in Georgia.
You were like the guy.
I was. It was my niche. Like I could just find them for some reason. And I'll be dogged if I didn't find one on a lawnmower. And then 2 days later, found one on a four-wheeler on the same road.
Man.
And I mean, I don't know. I almost had like a grand slam. Of DUIs.
But this is kind of
truck, car.
Bicycle is the only thing you're missing.
Yeah. Is that many people really driving intoxicated around us?
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, you'd probably be very scared to know.
Yeah, I've never thought about that myself.
Yeah, it's a lot. It was a lot. I arrested 88 in 1 year. I remember that.
I'm not a big deer guy. Not a big deer hunter, period. All right. But me and my buddy were trying to get to it. This is 3, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know. So I was probably 14, 15, 16, something like that. So trying to find my own a little bit, right? Just now starting to go hunting by yourself pretty good or with a buddy, you know, drive the four-wheeler back there, you know, you're all good, whatever. So driving in the afternoon ain't no problem, right? Whatever. I'll go drive in, you know, whatever. No big deal.
No big deal.
But, dude, walking out is a whole different animal.
It's a whole nother ball game.
Because, look, you can act as man as you want, all right? But when it gets dark, it's different, man. Something, the woods are different.
Yeah, they wake up.
And I ain't that way no more.
No.
Yeah, that's what's
happening. It crosses your mind every once in a while.
Every now and then.
Like, if we're all being real, we got to have some humility. This is biblical, boys.
But it's Bible now. Okay.
But, you know, at the time, it was a lot worse, right? I like I said, still trying to figure it out. So I'm with my buddy, which helps, right? Because I'm like, heck, if I go down, he's going down too. Hey. You know, whatever.
Yeah, you just got to be faster than him.
Exactly. So we were about to climb out of the deer stand. And of course, making sure there's no deer. We don't want to spook any deer out the field or whatever. You know, we were going to wait it out, but there weren't any deer. So, or at least we didn't think there were any deer. We started easing down the ladder, and the food plot had a little roll to it, right? And I stopped about halfway down the ladder. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Tell my buddy, hey, there's headlights on the west side of this field. Let me tell you, this is private property.
Private property.
Hit the road, dude. So I'm like, yo, there are headlights in the field. I'm 14 years old or 15. I'm like, you know, I'm just like, there's headlights in the field there. What am I gonna do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I start climbing down. I'm like, oh. So we get, actually, we don't stay in the ladder stand. We get on the ground. So now we're on the ground because I'm like, you know, if they start spotting or something, they won't see us laying on the ground or whatever.
Right? And you don't want to shot.
Right. So we get down and I'm like, I don't know if we wait till they ease off or what do you do? It's private property. Where are these guys at? Right. All I got's a crossbow too. It's archery season. So that throws a whole other wrench in the deal. Right. So then I'm sitting there and we're just like thinking, we might just walk on the edge of the woods, you know, whatever. We're just trying to get out of there. Right. Like any right-minded individual. Then we start hearing footsteps behind us. Dude, you want to talk? My heart's already beating out my chest.
You don't know if they know that you're there or not at this point, right?
No. Don't have a clue.
Uncertain.
And it's for danger.
But you're trying to sneak out.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm geeking out. So then I start hearing their footsteps, and I'm just, dude, my heart is just... Right. And I'm trying to keep it cool with my buddy. He's like, dude, they're going in. I'm like, no, they're not. We're good. And then inside, I'm like, dude, I can't keep it in. Anyway, so the footsteps, it sounds like a person just walking towards us. And, dude, I'd be lying if I said I didn't point the crossbow that way. Oh. I don't know what I was going to do, you know.
Was it loaded?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. The heck yeah.
Okay.
So I pointed that way. I didn't know what I was going to do. Shoot just another crossbow. Yeah, I don't know.
I got a crossbow.
And I'm just waiting for this person to show up. And I'm like, you know what? They ain't going to listen to this 14-year-old kid. They're probably going to beat us up or something. And about that time, that person goes,
Oh,
running off. It was deer. So I was like, huh. I was like, well, at least they ain't there. All right.
At least it's not the Illuminati.
At least it's not them behind us. So we're good. Those were just the deer. And then, dude, we sat there on the ground or laid on the ground or whatever for like 45 minutes to an hour. And it's like, all right, we got to do something. It's like 9 o'clock. Like, parents are going to start being like, what the heck is going on? Come to find out, it was just the moon shining on that side of the of the block the whole time. There was nobody there. It was just the moon.
You want me to keep this story in the show?
Absolutely. Okay. That is peak idiocy, and I'm humble enough to admit it.
I just was going to give you the opportunity. I can take that.
I do like the fact that he cloaked it under 14 years old. Yeah, yeah. Last year.
Last year.
That was 6 months ago.
A lot can change.
When I was a kid.
Hey, like I said, I'm not the proudest of that story, but that did happen.
I thoroughly appreciate a good confession.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, boy. It's got to make you feel better.
It's good for the soul.
It happened.
I had no doubt if you turned around and pointed a loaded crossbow at somebody after what you did to your brother with aluminum bat, you would have absolutely shot somebody
right in the leg.
They were cooked.
100%.
They didn't 100%. Know it.
Dude, I was seeing red again. Yeah. I got PTSD. It was like I was back in the Thomas the Train days. Game mode. It's time.
That's one thing I would recommend you do.
Therapy?
Yeah.
Whoa. Let's preface, guys. This was all in my BC days.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, exactly.
Hey, I like that.
So, y'all hold my dirt against me. Look, I'm washed clean by the blood, boys. All right.
Even that piggly-wiggly, I'm not dropping yazoo.
My BC days, guys.
You just like shame. I try to have a little fun with something, and he's going to make it spiritual.
Hey, that's all.
You try to make fun of Shane, all of a sudden he wants to be spiritual.
Look, because then you feel conviction, and I don't. Yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm
completely disarmed. I'm just trying to keep up my past.
I'm not even going any further now.
The Lord forgave me of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're washed clean.
Amen. Amen and amen. Drew, since he ruined the mood, go ahead and tell us another story.
Your turn.
Oh, God.
He takes these little shots.
Since he ruined the mood.
He does. Just get ready. Just get ready. Just pay attention. Keep up.
Oh, gosh. I don't have a little brother, but I have a Brandon Crawford.
Okay. Full name.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. I can say his name.
That's fine.
He's a GBI agent and undercover drug guy. Not around here, so I can say that. But he's a cool guy. But he is like
all you need is his social security number. I think we've got a full profile.
He just called me. I can probably get it. But we were frog gigging one night at a local lake here. It's actually a public ground. And so we're going across there, and we were always somebody's always trying to get one on the other one, doing something mean to them or something. But we were having a pretty good night, so we're kind of locked in, but we're moving fast because frogs are like popping up, but they ain't staying up long. So you got to get on them, get them gig, get them in the boat. So we're going. He's like, I got to move big and big and big and. Well, he's going like this, and I'm like, all right, give me to it, because I was on the gig. We'd rotate. One of us would be light guy, motor guy, mm-hmm. other guy, gig guy. I think we're going five frogs and swap, So I was on the gig. So we're running up to the bank, and he's like, so big, and he's like, big, and get ready. He spins me around, and I go, and I'm about to gig, and you know, he put me tight on it. He did a great job. Me right on it, but it was a cottonmouth. I went from
number three.
Excited to gig a frog to, oh my gosh, there's a cottonmouth like close enough, probably nearly to bite me. I go from excited to now I'm scared to death.
Get the boat away.
So he's dying laughing. But what he don't know is I have a pistol in my waistband. You know, and this is midnight. So he's just back here having a good time laughing at me. Well, I pull that pistol out and I said, kaboom, I shot it. Now he's scared to death because I just shot eight feet from him. And he almost flips out of the boat because he wasn't expecting the gun to go off. So he got me a little bit. And he got me pretty good. I ain't gonna lie, because I was already almost committed. And, you know, I'm like real close to this big old cottonmouth before I realized it's a cottonmouth. But then
you to gig that thing and flipped it back there on him?
You know, if I could go back, I probably would have tried to do that.
This is before Christ or after Christ?
This is after Christ. You know, I was born again at this time. Young and, you know.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Self-control.
This is the third frog gigging story.
Yep. Really?
No kidding.
All of them.
Involve a snake.
Every single one.
I know. Yep.
So guess when I'm going again? Never.
Never. Don't bother you. I'll tell you what lake it is. I don't say it. I'm really weird about telling people. Like, this morning.
You know, I'm not going. Can tell.
He knows the lake, and he'll know why it's so doggone snaky. But I ain't saying it because I don't share information like that.
So you'll tell the man's first name, last name.
I ain't going to tell you where I'm going.
Home address and social security.
But I ain't telling you where I'm going. I ain't
telling you where I'm going frog gigging.
Heck no. Brandon can take care of himself. My deer and turkeys can't. Like this morning, I killed that turkey.
They got a gun.
They don't have a gun. That's right. They're unarmed. So I killed that turkey this morning, and some dude gets on there and says, man, y'all are killing blank blank. And I'm like, no. So I immediately I deleted that dude as soon as I saw. He put the location, he knows where I hunt, and he put like dead on location, like everybody in the world around here knows where it's at. Well, I have a little bit of trouble getting stalked and followed around anyway. And I think for hunting, everybody wants to know where I kill this. Everybody wants to know because I hunt a lot. And praise, you know, the Lord blesses me. You know,
we're probably just
going to
go back home.
But
that's okay. I mean,
and following around.
I don't want to be killed over it.
Yeah.
I passed a black truck just sitting still earlier. I didn't know who it was looking for, but it was actually waiting on Drew to
probably
pass
me.
By.
Probably so. It was going to follow me to the woods this afternoon. Really
tinted windows.
Yeah,
tinted windows.
That's the way I think, though. I'm scared to death. Like, I don't want nobody poaching my stuff.
They're going to think there's a funeral on the way to Hayden, Alabama. They're just following y'all home.
Following us back.
I'm scared to death of locations being on my pictures. Like if I post a big deer I kill or a turkey I kill, I'm like, that's we're serious. Triple double checking this. No, it ain't.
It's real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty tight-lipped. I don't want nobody to know.
It's a real deal spill Uncle Phil thing.
Well, you know, the cool thing is you could do like Phil does and just shoot and miss them, and you won't have to worry about
posting any pictures.
I ain't saying a word, buddy. I'm hunting the rest of this year.
I'm on dude. I'm killing while I'm at it, though.
Let him jinx himself. I'm going to keep myself out of this. Oh, he just bust out the long beard to prove it. Heck yeah.
Let me see this.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's fresh. Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same age range. Me and my brother are probably a little bit
older.
Wait
a minute. You've told two age ranges. We've had 5-year-old.
You're right. And 14-year-old. I meant 5 and 6.
And 19-year-old.
So I'm right in the middle now.
Okay.
About 10. We're both probably 10, 11 years old.
All right.
And this is the stage when you got the BB guns and the pellet guns. Oh, yeah. And you're shooting Tweety birds and everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Really learning to hunt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just. Man, if you kill a squirrel, it was a good day. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Yeah, just
nothing
just
stood a chance.
Learning how to shoot, you know, Dr. Pepper cans and everything else. All right. So for Christmas that year, we got a pop-up blind, right? Huge advancement in the 10, 11-year-old world, dude. That's like
transition from a Thomas
to a pop-up
blind. Now, is this only your pop-up blind? We need to know that.
It was shared, but it didn't get shared long.
Did Santa Claus bring it?
Santa brought it.
Man, that's a shared gift. Santa brought
it. Dude, it was awesome.
That's a shared gift.
As you can tell, all my stories are somewhat related to the woods. I mean, that's all we did was hunt, fish, and, you know, play sports growing up. So, anyways, we set up that pop-up blind, and evidently we did it without any adult supervision whatsoever. We set up the pop-up blind, and we were in it for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. I don't know. We weren't in it very long. And, man, we started itching, like, bad. And I was like, you know, we don't know what we're doing, right? We're like, man, what the heck is going on? Man, an ant bed.
Oh, God.
Dude, I mean, as big, huge. Like, I don't know how you don't see it. It's probably 6x6 pop-up blind. Dude, it's taking up half of it. And I don't know how we didn't see it.
Never saw that.
No, but I sure as crap felt it. Long story short, all these fire ants were on me and him. I'm talking head to toe. Dude, there were two naked white boys running down the hill in a hurry. And we got home, got in that bathtub, crunk that water as hot as it could. I mean, it was bad, boy.
That's a bad.
There's still a couple pairs of tennis shoes up there. Stripped down. Absolutely. Dude, you want to talk about getting eat slap?
That was this year? You were 10.
Santa does still come to see us.
Yeah, Santa was real.
Santa brought a new tent this year.
Yeah. He brought a
mossy oak bottom.
He brought a double bowl of this. We've upgraded again.
I said, well, I'm glad.
Oh, boy.
Y'all boys don't plan on killing a turkey in a while.
Oh, man.
We're just going to go on back home. We just got kind of weird.
I never plan on killing one.
I do love what he said about learning to shoot and how a Dr. Pepper can was a target. I walked out on the porch the other day and there was a Dr. Pepper can and a Sprite can. And I hollered at my son. I said, hey, come here and pick these cans up. He came running up. I was expecting him to take them, go throw them in the garbage. He picks them up. He looks. He said, them's great targets.
I like it.
Pitches them out in the yard. And I was like, that's absolutely not what I wanted.
That's
how you get it raised right.
That's great.
That's not what I was anticipating.
That's perfect. It's good, though.
I looked over as I said, why did you do that? He said, good targets. I looked. To the left was a Dr. Pepper can full of BB holes. And I said, well,
okay.
I thought he was about to say Tannerite or something.
No, he had just pumped it full of holes and it was time for.
Yeah, my boys are that way. But with their bows, my oldest son got a blowgun.
Oh, man.
Tim Wells one. No, he's pretty Tim legit. Wells, like, he's trying to kill a squirrel with it.
That's pretty cool.
He's a maniac. I don't know where he gets it.
We didn't have cool. We had to use bamboo chain poles or stuff for. Try to make a
His is legit. Gun. Like the darts have broadheads on them.
I don't know that you grew up that primitive. Did you? He wasn't doing all
it
that.
It was the 1900s.
This is true.
Isaac didn't even know what the 1900s were like.
Well, I had to think about that for a second.
That's true. You were born in like 2000.
I listen to music from the 1900s. There you go. So I'm a big
were born
old
in 2007?
06.
I was a junior in high school.
Hey, we want to say, can we move on from the age, guys? I don't understand why it's such a hang up.
Yeah, at least you're like, you're an old soul.
I am an old soul, man. I like that. Hank, George Jones, Merle Haggard. Come on, guys. Keith Whitley.
And George check Trey, out Allen, these cool Josh, little
overalls. Yeah, I like it.
My man.
Drew's wife wants to tell a hunting story for us today, and I told him that we'd give it a shot.
Is she ready?
Yeah,
I think she is. Are you ready?
Okay, so I was in a tree stand. He was on the other side somewhere in a tree stand. So I was sitting up there by myself. You know, this is pre-kids. Like, we didn't have any kids. We weren't even married yet. And
that's good.
So it was during the rut. So I'm sitting in the stand. And I'm waiting. And I'm watching. And a little doe comes out. So I watched her for about 10, 15 minutes, you know, trying to make sure that, her boyfriend wasn't following her.
There you go.
So I kept on waiting, just watching her. Well, I decided to take her. Mm-hmm. So I aimed, I shot, folded her, dropped right there. Mm. And I'll be danged if before the dust could even settle where she landed, here comes her boyfriend. Mm-mm. Walking out majestic in the field.
Majestic?
Well, listen, I've never seen a buck.
First rack buck she's ever seen. Mm.
Like I had first rack buck I ever seen. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh man, this thing is huge. This thing is huge. You know, my heart's beating fast. I'm like, oh, I'm going to take this. Drew's going to be so proud of me. So I watch him and I watch him and he goes over there and he kind of smells his girlfriend and he's like, well, you know, I guess I'll have to find somebody else.
That one's kicked her bucket.
And so since his heart was broken, I decided I'll just go ahead and break it some more. And so I said, yeah, I think I'm going to shoot him. He's huge. This is a big buck. So I shoot him, fold him up. He lands right there, not far from her. And so Drew, I had texted him after I shot that first one. He was like, did you shoot? And I was like, yeah, I shot a doe. He was like, okay, I'm going to wait. And, you know, just literally probably 2 or 3 minutes after I shot her, I ended up shooting her boyfriend. And he texts me. He's like, was that you again? And he thought I was just, you know, like.
Yeah, thought she was Swiss cheesing this doe.
Yeah, I thought I was just trying to keep the doe down. Target practice. But little did he know, I done took two and folded them both right there. So he walks over to me, and I wait in the stand before I walk over to the deer. We're walking over to the buck, and the closer we get, the smaller that rack is. Oh. I thought it was supposed to be the opposite. I thought the closer I got, the bigger this rack was going to get. But the smaller it got, and we got over to it, and it was, I mean, it was an 8-point, but it was like a 2-year-old maybe. How old was it?
It was a 2-year-old.
Yeah, so like a 2-year-old deer. So it was a pretty, very pretty rack. Uh-huh. Just, you know, it wasn't mature enough to actually take.
Oh yeah,
it was
pretty mature. You took it.
Yeah, it's in our, actually in our living room now.
You had it mounted. Yeah. I think that's a great first buck and a great story.
It was
good stuff like that never happens to me.
That buck was a lot bigger than the first one I took.
Thank you for tuning in and sharing that story with us. We appreciate it. That's awesome. We'll get your crawfish
to you.
Yeah, we'll get your crawfish to you later.
Thanks.
Y'all hold careful. On the line. We'll get your name and address.
Social security number, the whole nine, I reckon.
All right. Well, Isaac, so you've got the revelation. Yeah. Now, I'm a little nervous about this. No, now, are you Pentecostal? I mean, it is the last name.
Tongues or no
it
tongues?
It is the last name. Guys, we're getting deep. We might be in the book of Acts, is what it sounds like. Forget Philippians.
Wait a minute. What? Did you take off our hats for this? Is that what you said? Yeah, he said we need to take off our hats.
I'm a big fan of Paul.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I am too. Yeah. A trooper. Trooper of the faith. It's not a very long revelation. But I was going to my pastor for advice a few months ago, right? Like any man would when he's, you know, thinking in a bind. Anyhow. What he brought me back to, John 10:10, and also verse 11. Everybody knows John 10:10. The thief doesn't come except to, you know, steal, kill, destroy. Mm. I came to give life and life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 11, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, right? And he kind of brought that up. He kind of came full circle for me. And this was a really eye-opening thing for me, so I thought it might help somebody else. Because the thing I really, really got rough with, because I got to a point where I started posting more on social media and whatnot, right? And
yeah, I'm sure that.
And sharing more with others. And like any human would, pride absolutely starts to seep in.
Yeah.
And it takes humility to ever admit you were prideful to begin with.
It does.
You know? So you got that really has to come full circle. And one thing he told me, it stuck out so big to me. He said, look, if you want a shepherd or flock, you got to smell like the sheep. And I was like, dang. And that really hit me deep because Jesus is the good shepherd, mm-hmm. willing to die for his sheep. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even willing to smell like one to serve the people around me.
Mm.
And that cut me pretty deep in the best way, in a convicting way that helped me have a, you know, different perspective and change for the better. But that really helped me a lot. So that's what I wanted to share.
That's pretty good word. Good
stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Does your pastor smell? Like a sheep. I think he's meant it symbolically.
I'm just kidding.
Metaphorically.
No, that's really good. That's really good. And the not weird thing about that, I just read that. I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday morning. That was my daily reading.
Awesome.
It was that passage. That's awesome. Before we get into scripture time, it's time for
something neat.
Something neat. Isaac's got our something.
You
didn't
want to help? I thought y'all might chime in there.
You don't want to do that.
Kind of like when we said our name, it was kind of just like, what's going on?
We didn't know. Good. Nobody told me what we were supposed to say.
It's optional.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. So show us our something neat for this week.
All right, guys, we got something neat today.
This is fitting.
Is a cherry crystal that we make every day. This is our, like, our best selling pot call ever.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a bunch of them.
And they're so good. Mm-hmm. Best pot call ever made, arguably.
I would agree.
Strong.
And the cool thing is we put people's pictures in them all the time. This is just a random one I grabbed off the shelf. I guess somebody had made, they didn't pick it up. So this is just some random
guy
and his son with a turkey. But every single day we get orders and people put their custom picture in there. And it's like $20 more. Get your picture put in there custom. And it's custom. Tailor-made just for you.
That's pretty cool.
And you can even engrave on the back. So if I could put a picture of that empty shell and put Philip missed a turkey today and put the date 03
and you hold the
27.
Please
26.
Do that. Please hold the pic and let me get you one.
And we can get him a custom call made. That's simple. We'll just take his picture and put it in a call and say he missed on this date. We can engrave that on there.
Yeah.
And if y'all would like to purchase one of those, all proceeds would go to me and lick it, you know, that'd be great.
Lickety spit.
That's
you
it.
You can support my ministry.
Close enough.
Thank you for sharing something neat with us today, Isaac.
Something neat.
That's really neat.
Something neat. All right, now let's go to John 16, verse 17.
Whoever this is, you need to come get your call.
Yeah. And
anybody know this guy?
Yeah, if you know this guy, tell him his call's here at Woodhaven, ready to be picked up.
Before I read this, let me give a little background. This, the Lord had put it on my heart a couple of weeks ago to do a series on the Holy Spirit. Because I know that I have not studied a lot about the Holy Spirit in my lifetime. And mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit's a huge part of a believer's life. And so I wanted to, one, do a study.
It should be.
To grow
That's right.
in my own personal knowledge, but to also grow the church.
Sure.
A little bit of that shepherd thing that you were talking about earlier.
I smell you.
And
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit has authority. So we're going to read it and talk, see what Jesus said about that. And then I've got seven authorities that the Holy Spirit gives to a believer to share with you guys. So here's the verse. John chapter 16, verse 17. Then said, that's not it. That's not it at all. What was the verse?
I would look on your sheet.
It's not on the sheet.
Cheat sheet.
That KJV got him every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just read it.
He's back.
There
in the
it
flesh.
Is. Seven. Seven.
Now
That's
he's back
why.
In the spirit.
I'm back online. I made an error.
He's back in the spirit, boys.
John 16, verse 7, not 17. Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, capital C there, Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So that's Jesus speaking. He's not speaking in like this sad, like, oh no. He's excited because when he sends the Holy Spirit to each believer, the power is going to be spread throughout every believer That's because right. the Holy Spirit dwells inside of each and every one of us.
Amen.
Here's where I struggle personally, and I think other people may struggle as well. As Christians, I don't know that we embrace and think about the power of God that dwells inside of us. I think that more so we're looking on our flesh, our weaknesses, what we cannot do because of our frailty, as opposed to what God can do because of who is in us.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So I hope this will help you if you've been weak and thinking about yourself and how much you can't do. Here's seven authorities of the Holy Spirit. The first one is that the Holy Spirit convicts us. And if you've never been convicted by the Holy Spirit, you need to
be.
Something's yeah. going on there. Something's going on. Either you're living really well or I don't know. But you so he convicts us. But in John 16, 8 through 11, and he, when he comes, the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So sin, the disbelief that we have, and the other sin that we do, righteousness, that Jesus is completely righteous and none is righteous but him, and the judgment that the world has been judged. Okay, so there's the first authority. Second authority, he regenerates. And this is where it says you must be born again. So every person who believes is born again to the second birth because of the believing in Jesus Christ. And you get the Holy Spirit. And then
you get the Holy Spirit.
And you get the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. That's Acts 1:8, where he says to go out and after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Fourth authority, he transforms, Galatians 5:22 through 25, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So he gives you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we're not trying to get those things. Those are fruit that grow from the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. So we should have those in our each and every one of our lives as believers. So that's the transformation. He guides us, Romans 8:14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit guides, directs, leads us. And if you're struggling right now, you don't know which way to go, hey, I think it might be good. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, direct you. Number six, he assures you, this is huge, knowing that you're God's child. I'll read it for you. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. You're a child of God, and the Holy Spirit will comfort you of that. So you don't have to worry about, do you have salvation or not? Are you saved? Are you secure? All right. Last one. He gives gifts. That's pretty awesome. 1 Corinthians 12:11-13.
I'm not going to say it.
Do you got something you want to say?
No, I don't have anything.
Do you think this is wrong?
No, I think you're correct. I was actually.
It's definitely correct. 1 Corinthians 12:11-13. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So the Holy Spirit gives each believer a gift, not like a birthday present, but a gift to use for the glory of God.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. Not like Santa Claus. Yeah,
not like Santa Claus.
Not like the
not like Thomas, a pop-up
not
line.
The Thomas tent.
Yeah, not the tents.
Yeah.
Or an aluminum bat. Takeaways. What do we do with this? We've just given some great information. We've talked about the authority of the Holy Spirit, that it dwells inside a believer who has asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. So what do we want people to do different? What do we want to do different? Let's just say that, as opposed to people.
I think focus.
Okay. Yeah.
And my verse for this is Colossians 3:2. Very straight up verse. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things.
That's right.
And it's so simple sounding, but it is so hard to genuinely focus on the Lord with the chaos of work and kids. And
why'd you point to us when you said kids?
Well, some of us.
Okay.
You'll know when
I thought you were calling us kids. Sorry.
No, but it's hard to focus because I mean, life grabs you every day and it is so captivating, and sensuality with your phone, and there's just so much access to things that can give you fulfillment. So to focus and to set your mind on things above and not on earthly things is a big part of it for me. That's what I take away from that.
Heck
yeah. Amen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Just go into the vineyard and go to work. And then I was going to spend right off of that. It's just pretty simple scripture that you don't have to have a revelation for to understand, is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And then all these other things will be added unto you. We're definitely one mind, one accord, because that's right where my head went. But, you know, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, we'll be there in the midst. So he's in the midst of us.
Amen.
But life, just like he said, life, you know, for a long time in my life, I was so bad to wake up and think, all right, what do I got to do work today? What do I got to do? Because I'm thinking I have to be a provider. I have to do this. I have to do that. That's what I have to do as a man to be good to my family, to be good to my wife, to be good for my kids. But I was putting all that, and even my wife and kids, before God.
Oh, yeah.
And until I finally realized that he really wasn't first, I just thought he was, You know, things didn't really get any better for me. They got worse. But, you know, when you finally figure out that how to get him first, man, it's crazy how much all those things just fall into place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You just got to get in there and go to work and keep him first. And then all those other things will be added into you. Just like it teaches us.
Getting kind of in a rabbit hole here, but that's okay.
Down we go.
It's just, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And when you get to the point where the Lord isn't your life and it's just a thing you force yourself to fit in or do just to say you do, you know what I mean? Do it just to say that you are a Christian or just enough to get by.
Checking a box.
Yeah. Yep. That I've noticed when I've tried to do that in my life, everybody has, that everything, you mentally,
fall apart.
Spiritually, you're broken. You have no foundation in life.
Fall
and
apart.
Then, not even that circumstances are bad, but you just have no foundation. Like the Lord is supposed to be your rock. So,
yeah.
For sure.
What you got, Shane?
I've got a question.
Oh.
Uh-oh. What do you think? Could the comforter not also be here because Christ was here? Because it just wasn't his time. So first they had God. I mean, they had spoke with God and they talked with God and God was relationship with them. And then they had the Son, which was, he was here on earth.
Walked the earth,
talked to them, spoke to them with truth and revelation and all. And then they're like, okay. And then the third part of us is going to be, the third part is going to be the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. And he's going to come after me. And he will be here until I come back and get y'all, mm-hmm. basically. What do you think you think that's just how God set it up? Or am I missing something as to why it was set up that way?
Mm.
Like, why was the Spirit not also?
Well, the Holy Spirit was in Old Testament. The difference. And I'm sure somebody will say I'm wrong on this, and maybe I am.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we're going to be right about this. I'm just really just
conversating. That's almost like a hypothesis.
Unstudied.
There you go.
Yeah.
The common thread in the Old Testament is the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Mm.
Remember Samson. Mm. He came upon it. But Spirit, in the New Testament,
in lives you. In. You.
Yeah.
So he was there. And in the beginning, they all were there.
Yeah, they're all.
So they've all always been. But you're right. The main theme, Old Testament, is the Father.
Mm-hmm.
New Testament, first part, the first four books, Son. Jesus. The remainder, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Comforter.
Yep.
And these three.
Why? I don't know.
I never really thought about that until you just read that
mm-hmm.
when he said, I've got to go so that he can.
Mm-hmm. It's just what God wanted to do.
That can almost get into like a modalism or like a monotheistic or a modalism type thing where people are like, well, the Son's here, but the Spirit ain't. But it's just God.
Yeah,
it's just one. It says these three are one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it can't be a modalism as in, well, if the Son's here, the Spirit is not. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think when you look at it like that, Spirit's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good thought.
Yeah. Good stuff, fellas.
My final takeaway is I want to.
Monotheistic is correct. There is one God. That's why I went back to modalism.
Yeah,
that is. Let me clear there.
Yeah. One God in three persons.
Correct.
All fully God. Yes. The Trinity. Is I want to embrace, think about, be mindful of making full room for the Holy Spirit in my life. Because I want to experience His power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I haven't previously, but I think that I have a lot of room to grow and just Holy Spirit do it. I mean, you're here, you have the power. I want you to take over and accomplish what you want to accomplish for your glory, as opposed to Philip trying to do more.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Clear it does. Yeah. Get yourself out of the way.
Get myself out of the way. I keep going back to what John said, John the Baptist. I must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
So he can.
Mm-hmm. So he can increase. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what I want to do. I want less of me, more him.
Yeah, I think that's what Paul meant when he said, I die daily.
Mm. And you, and that goes back to what both of you guys have said. You, to keep seeking Him first, it's got to be a daily decision.
It does.
Your verse in Colossians, it's a daily decision. Mm-hmm. You wake up renewing that Absolutely. Commitment every single day. It's just flesh. We're fighting that flesh and every the enemy.
Day. Man, I repeat this verse a million times, but I'm not ashamed to do it because it helps me every day. But Romans 12:2, everyone knows it just about. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you'll be able to test and approve God's perfect and pleasing will. And every single day, the very first thing I do when I wake up, last thing I do before I go to bed, don't get me wrong, plenty of prayer in between. I'm not one of those, as soon as I wake up, as soon as I go to bed, you need to be praying constantly. But always I'm praying that the Lord renews my mind, purifies my heart, so that I can do His will and not be clouded by my own judgment, as in making room.
Yep.
Like you said, so I do that daily because I know, to me, this is really an opinionated thing, but I think every day when I wake up, the first thought for me is fleshful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Until I renew my mind in prayer.
Yeah.
Or until I seek the Lord.
Yeah. What do I got to do today?
Don't get me wrong. The Holy Spirit lives in me, but that doesn't mean I don't shove it out of the way or grieve the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
Woo. We're getting church.
Good stuff. Hey, I like it.
Well, I hope you guys have been blessed, but I know I have.
I have as well. I enjoy spending time with you guys a lot.
I appreciate it. Even though we had a couple of weird moments that we had to clarify, but that's okay. Well, let's get out of here before we say something. Looking like not the Holy Spirit. That's going to do it today for the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Isaac.
And I'm Drew.
We'll see you guys next week.